That's brand new from Sweaty Teddy. We're talking about your Uncle Ted, Ted Nugent. That track is called American Campfire. And man, oh man, do I love that song. The more I play it, the more I love it. Listen to those screaming guitar licks. Ted still got it, no doubt about it. Mentioned several weeks ago that Ted is going to be joining me here on Quartz in Session to talk to all of you. And I have gotten so many emails asking when he's going to be on. Looks like he's going to be on towards the end of March, maybe beginning of April. But I'm excited, and it's going to be a great show. And you know, with Ted Nugent, you never know what he's going to say, but you know he's going to speak his truth, and he's certainly a great American. New tune, American Campfire, new Ted Nugent album coming out in April called Detroit Muscle. So last Friday, I went to the Palace Theater for two shows. I saw Loverboy last Wednesday, and then last Friday, I saw America, and America was sold out. And I gotta tell you, I was so impressed with how great they were, how good they sounded, how good they looked. I don't think those guys age. And it was just a fantastic concert. First time seeing America for me. And there will hopefully be many more. Well, we got a request from Tim and Sharon in Adamsburg, listening online at WRCT.org. They want to hear some America. Give this a listen. This was a big hit back in the early 80s. Haven't heard this on the radio in a long time. This is The Border. And don't change that dial. Coming up, we've got Mark Stein of Vanilla Fudge real soon.
welcome to Bibimbap here on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM. This is your show host, Yunsu. And for today's show, we have a very special guest. They were one of my closest friends at the radio station and still are today. And they graduated 2 years ago, so they're a WRCT alumni. Hello, Claire. Thank you for coming out today. And how are you doing?
Hello. Thank you for inviting me to Bibimbap. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's pretty chilly in New Jersey today, and it's quite rainy, but I won't let the weather get me down, and I am quite excited to do a K-pop show with you today.
Of course, this is a show across state lines today.
Claire was one of the first people that kind of got me into radio, or like was like one of my first friends at the radio station at CMU, and they were the internal music director during my first year there, and I kind of succeeded them, I guess, took the mantle.
You did succeed me. I corralled you into joining the radio station, staying in the radio station, and taking up an executive position at the radio station.
You truly are an influencer.
I was all in at the radio station. Yeah, I was internal music director, but before that, I was public affairs director for 2 years, and I had a couple of like various shows under various DJ names. I think my last one was DJ C-Day, but that was all in the past. Now I no longer go to CMU as I've graduated, but today happy to cover some topics that DJ Yunsu and I are both very enthusiastic about, which is
K-pop.
Woo. K-pop time.
All right, so let's get right into it. How did you get introduced to K-pop, and what was your first experience like with it?
Yeah. My first experience with K-pop was actually through my older sister, because she was into it. But I think she was into it because she used to watch Korean variety shows like Running Man and Family Outing, and I think 2 Days, One Night or whatever it was called back then. And because there would be K-pop artists and singers on those shows, she would listen to the music then, and then we would sort of get into it together.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any like specific K-pop songs that you were like really into back then?
Okay, I don't think I was into them, but my sister was. Specifically, I remember Kim Jong-kook, who now is often sort of just known as a TV personality, I think. He was in Turbo, which was a duo, I believe, and he had a song called Happy Virus, which my sister burned onto a mix CD, which we would listen to all the time in the car, along with Murotic by TVXQ and other songs by TVXQ, including their Japanese releases, which I thought were by a different band because they're known as DBSK in Japan.
TVXQ is really old. Do you know when they debuted? I feel like...
I don't think they're like that old. They're still only like 2000. I think they debuted after the year 2000.
To me, that's really old.
All right, well, we're a baby, so yeah, definitely that. Those were like sort of the first groups, and then I distinctly remember my sister asking my dad to buy albums when he went to Korea for a business trip. But I think he didn't understand which group was which, so he just came back with Big Bang and Super Junior, and no TVXQ, as far as I remember.
Damn. So none of your favorite.
Well, I didn't know who these albums. People were at the time. My sister just liked them. Did you also get into these at like a younger age?
Yeah. TVXQ was not a group that I was familiar with back then. It was definitely more like Son Yoshida or Girls' Generation, Big Bang and SHINee, I think. Those three were probably the biggest ones.
I think the fact that you were in, like, you can say SHINee as one of your first groups proves that you're a baby.
SHINee is still fairly recent. They're still going on strong too.
Right. I mean, TVXQ is still going. It's just so is Suju.
Wait, really?
What? Yes, they just released something. Oh my gosh.
I did not know that actually.
Also, you know from TVXQ is releasing solo stuff.
Okay.
They're not like dead.
They're not dead, thankfully. But is there new stuff good? Like, have you listened to
it? I have listened to it. It's very Well, it's hard to express. Maybe we can go into this later, but it is very like solo artist of a group that debuted many, many years ago.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah, I also listened to Big Bang though. And one of the songs that you mentioned is one that I also listened to a lot, which was Haru Haru by Big Bang.
Oh my God, yeah.
Plus the music video, which was definitely one of the first things that got me interested in K-pop, the music video.
That music video was so dramatic. The black and white and like
Wait, it's not even in black and white. I think it's in sepia tone.
Okay.
Spoilers for anyone who hasn't seen this music video, but in it, someone dies in the hospital and there's a lot of crying and running, and it's all in this terrible 2009 sepia effect that looks like it's maybe 200 pixels if you're lucky. Yeah. If you're lucky.
Oh my god, that song truly, I don't know. I just play that song all the time back in the day.
Yeah, it's like one of those songs, if you hear even the first couple notes of it and whatever they whisper at the beginning, you are suddenly thrown back to it. Maybe we could listen to it now.
Let's do it. So up next, or this first song that I'll play for you guys, is Haru Haru by Big Bang. And I hope you guys enjoy it as much as we did back in our youth.
Yeah, finally I realized that I'm nothing without you. I was wrong, forgive me.
Haru,
goodbye.
All right, that was, once again, that was Haru Haru by Big Bang off of their third mini album, Stand Up. It was definitely an interesting song for its time, but I kind of want to move on to some of more recent times, I guess, and talk about what we think our favorite groups and albums are now, or of all time, I should say.
Of all time, my gosh.
Yeah.
Big words.
Or now, it could be. You can have multiple.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I would definitely say that even though my sister got me into K-pop at the very beginning, or I gained some awareness of it culturally, as much as like an eighth grader can be cultured, I didn't really get into K-pop until probably like 2012 or 2013, which was a while after that. But like coming from then, I think even from their debut, EXO was and is one of my favorite groups of all time. I'll say it.
Am I surprised? No.
Okay, well, what's your favorite group now?
I think for me, it's got to be Red Velvet. Red Velvet kind of got me back into K-pop. Because I was into K-pop like in middle school. And then I kind of stopped for a while because like a lot of my like white friends kind of made fun of me for listening to K-pop. So I was like, maybe it's not cool to listen to K-pop. Mm. But yeah, Red Velvet got me like back into it. Bad Boy and that whole album, the second, the Perfect Red Velvet album, was just so good. Like,
so these are all more, these are more recent discoveries then.
Yeah, I'd say honestly, like sophomore year of college. So like 2 years ago.
Very recent.
Yeah. Primarily because like you, Alice and Iris would like listen to K-pop.
Through the power of osmosis, you were forced to listen to it. And through having so many to sample from, you found a couple that you really enjoyed.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that, and I know that you really like the song Four Walls by FX.
That is truly one of my favorite songs as well. I don't know if I'd say they're my favorite group just because I haven't listened to most of their discography, but FX, Four Walls, definitely at least in my top five or top three favorite K-pop songs.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of my favorite songs too.
All right, then I think it's a good time to listen to it right now. Up next is Four Walls by our beloved FX. Hope you guys enjoy.
Love is for walls.
You guys just heard Four Walls by FX, and the chorus in that song is truly one of a kind, I think.
Yeah, it's so iconic, and even the instrumentation of it, I actually listened to a remix where someone remixed this with some Blackpink song, but all I could think about while listening to the remix was that I would rather be listening to Four Walls by FX.
Blackpink. Replicated or replaced, I think.
Yes, yeah. So the song was written by a member of Jam Factory, Lee Soo-ran, but composition and the final producing was handled by London Noise, Tay Jasper, and Adrian McKinnon. I want to note that Adrian McKinnon is probably one of my favorite top liners and songwriters that works with SM. He's worked on a ton of stuff with SM, and I think his vocal, the way he writes vocals, is really recognizable and probably some of my favorite stuff.
You said you worked a lot with SM?
Yeah, so he worked on the song for FX. He's done songs now for Wavy, NCT. I think he also worked on some songs for SHINee, but he's also done a lot of recognizable songs for EXO, as well as for my favorite member of EXO, Baekhyun, and his solo work, such as Candy. But I want to highlight one of my other favorite songs, which he also worked on, which is Superhuman by NCT 127. If we're talking about my favorite tastes in K-pop, my interests mostly go towards songs where there's a lot of vocal stacking, harmonies, and really slick production. And I think one of the unique things about K-pop is that because oftentimes the groups are so large, which is sometimes intimidating if you're coming from not being used to that, because the groups are so large, they have a lot of options for vocal experimentation, where you can have stacked harmonies while other people are rapping or doing sing rap or just doing dramatic line readings over the top. But Superhuman is all about that harmony, and I think it is probably a song unlike any other.
Shall we give it a listen then?
Let's listen to Superhuman by NCT 127.
Hurry up, 어디로든 떠나보는 거야. 자꾸만 리서
We just listened to the song Superhuman by NCT 127. Like I said, the harmonies in the song are awesome. I really like that choral sort of progression, even though it's not really chorus arrangement, but just that multitude of voices. And I think having those really strong vocals is a favorite point of mine when it comes to K-pop.
Yeah, and also another aspect of K-pop that I really enjoy is the music video. And like that music video is so good, like the effects and all the colors is
the effects, the composition effects. I showed this to my friend who works in animation and he was like, oh my god, the amount of work that went into this, I don't even want to think about it. So I take that as a good sign. I take that as a compliment personally.
I think there's one other boy group that is more higher on the list.
Wow, higher on my list and higher on your list, I think.
Yeah.
But it is EXO, which I mentioned earlier. Definitely the first group that got me really into K-pop. And even though over the years, they've gone through a lot of changes and a lot of them are enlisted and or have already enlisted in the military by now. One of my favorite albums by EXO, and I know one of your favorite albums by EXO, is EXACT, which was their third studio album, which came out in 2016. It has a dual single promotion, Lucky One and Monster, both of which I think are some of my top songs of all time.
And probably some of my favorite songs of all time too, honestly.
Wow, Monster, it's almost like we have similar music taste or something.
Maybe it's because you keep infecting me with...
infecting you only with the good stuff.
Yeah, you're right. But damn. Yeah, Monster. I honestly wasn't a huge fan of EXO until I think you showed me Monster. And then I was like, this is kind of too good.
I sort of feel like you were being stubborn about not liking EXO, but
yeah, maybe okay. Just a tiny bit,
just a little bit.
But Monster changed me.
Yeah, this was one of the top albums, and it brings up, like you said, the music videos, because they released two music videos almost back to back, and the concepts in the two different music videos were really interesting. But still, most of all, most important to me is their base of vocal R&B style, and that production style. So like I mentioned, London Noise has produced a lot of songs for EXO and other SM groups. They actually produced Monster, and they worked on other songs on the album. And I think having that signature slick production sound is something I really like. Speaking of which, one of my other favorite producers is Tak, who often works with One Dance on songs for Lovelies. But my top pick from them would be the remix of TT by Twice, which TT by itself is already a banger, a song that you will not get out of your head. But the remix is also really awesome to me. Do you have any top girl group songs? Well, I know you love Red Velvet and that.
Yeah, Red Velvet. We're both SM fans for sure, I think.
Well, you like other groups that aren't SM as well.
That is true. That's very true. We both
such
do.
As
Luna for sure. Luna is that the mix and match EP that they released is I think either top one or top two albums of all, in my list of K-pop.
Wow, I see how it is. I agree, Luna's incredible, and their concept and their release scheduling was really novel at the time, although I didn't follow super closely, as I don't follow anything that closely. It was really interesting, and like their group dynamic with 12 members is pretty insane.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And then each subgroup has like their own lore and stuff. It's like kind of insane.
I think the subunit practice is very interesting, because each subunit can develop their own style, like you said,
right,
along with their own lore. Yeah. And that makes them really unique.
Right. The mix and match EP came from the Odd Eye Circle subunit, I believe. And my favorite song from that EP, it's got to be between Lunatic and Girlfriend.
Oh.
I think Girlfriend is more of like a quintessential like pop song, but Lunatic, I think like it's like so, it's like almost like to me a Sweet Trip song.
Wow. Whoa. High like praise.
The production and the vocals and stuff, it's like dreamy and lush and ethereal. It's like kind of crazy. So it's got to be in between those two. But I think, should we listen to Lunatic?
Yeah. Pick one and should let's listen.
All right, let's listen to Lunatic, since I think right now that's my favorite. But yeah, up next is Lunatic by Luna, Odd Eye Circle, and off of the album Mix and Match. Hope you guys enjoy. right. Once again, that was Lunatic by Luna Odd Eye Circle off of their EP Mix and Match.
Such an awesome song.
Mm-hmm. The vocals, truly.
The vocals, the production, the super bouncy sort of soundscape that's in there with the synths and the percussion. Mm-hmm. A dream pop vibe.
Dream poppy, for sure.
Yeah. All right. I do want to spotlight one other EP, not a full-length album, mm-hmm. that is not as poppy, but definitely worth listening to, is Jonghyun's The Story EP, mm-hmm. which is a collection of songs that he wrote based on callers to his late-night radio show, which, of course, I think is something that is pretty close to my heart, as I used to do a late-night radio show. And all of the songs on that EP are really, really good. That's all that I have to say. I think they're all very emotional and really like intimate in the way that late night radio is.
Are they more like ballad-esque or?
Yeah, I would say they're slower and more on the ballad side. Yeah. Not nearly as poppy.
Okay. Damn. Do you want to play any right now or?
No, they're too sad.
That's fair.
Yeah. Maybe we can put that at the end of this section. But yeah. I think they're all really good.
Yeah.
And and another like favorite album that I have. Mm-hmm. Another favorite album that I have is Taemin, who was Jonghyun's bandmate in SHINee. His two recent albums, Never Gonna Dance Again, Volumes 1 and 2, I think really showcase his growth as an artist from when he did his first solo songs when he was just a little baby with other SM people, the infamous Pretty Boy featuring Kai. But now he is definitely a full-fledged solo artist in his own right, along with his work with SHINee. And I think Criminal off of Never Gonna Dance Again is a really high growth. It shows how much he's grown as an artist, and it has such a strong concept. Not only the music video is very entertaining, but the lyrics and the whole dance concept that he's worked on, which I don't think we've talked that much about, like the dance component of K-pop.
Yeah, that's very true. Dancing is also a very big part of K-pop. The choreographies must be so difficult.
But. Yeah, and the fact that these artists sing and dance at the same time live is so impressive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't often watch the video and listen at the same time. You know, if I'm going to listen, I just listen to the audio, to be quite honest. But the audio itself is definitely a standalone mm-hmm. piece as well.
Mm-hmm. Taemin is definitely one of my favorite members of SHINee. So I am glad to see him doing so well and making like wonderful music.
But yeah. Did you know he's enlisting at the end of this month?
I did not know. That's crazy. Everybody's enlisting now.
I think they're reaching that age. He's enlisting on May 31st.
Okay. Damn. Truly sad.
We'll miss him.
But he'll come back at some point. So
at some point. Eventually.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like I haven't actually forced us to play any EXO songs, so now I have to. And actually I'm going to make us listen to Bambi by Baekhyun off of his new EP.
Fairy tale song, 나만 살고 싶은 이 기적.
shiny bummy said to Bummy Bum Bummy 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 Bum Bummy Bummy Bummy. You're so precious, I can take it. You are Dummy Bummy Bummy. Bambi Bambi, yeah. 깨고 싶은 꿈 keep this tempo. 가만 두 눈 사이에 뜨지 않길 빌어.
The song we just listened to was Bambi by Baekhyun, coming from his most recent album, also titled Bambi, or Bombi in Korean. So that is his solo songs. I really like his solo work, but he, as one of the main vocalists of EXO, is also just one of my favorite vocalists within that group as well. And, you know, I could talk about EXO for probably like 3 hours, but we'll move on to a different group and talk about another group that I also really like, Red Velvet.
Red Velvet. They are one of my favorite K-pop groups. And Bad Boy off of the Perfect Red Velvet album, I think the repackaged one, is truly one of a kind as well. I know I say that all the time, but
every song we talked about, we're like, this is one of a kind.
But there's literally nothing that can, like, I feel like, replace it, you know?
Wow,
like,
nothing can compare. I mean, I agree personally. I think it's great. And one of my favorite things about Red Velvet as a group is their straight up charisma.
Yeah.
I think their charisma is so powerful, even in just the audio form. You can definitely hear it in the song. And I just want to talk about one of my favorite singers in Red Velvet, Wendy. Her vocals in the song are amazing. And I feel like you can definitely tell which one is Wendy. Even if you've never heard Red Velvet before, you'll hear a vocal and it'll probably be Wendy if you notice it. Not to say that the other members aren't good singers, but I think Wendy really stands out.
Yeah, I think Wendy's like definitely one of my favorite vocalists. She's just so good. And also,
yeah, have you listened to her recent solo stuff?
I listened to part of it, but not, I haven't listened to the full. She released an EP, right?
Yeah, an EP called Like Water. It's definitely much softer and more ballad-esque than Red Velvet.
A little bit of a vibe change, but still good from what I've heard nonetheless. But yeah, I think I want to play Bad Boy if you guys don't mind. I play this song. I think I've played this song on my radio show like at least 5 times by now.
But I
can't help it. I can't help it. It's just,
we're proselytizing for Bad Boy by Red Velvet, but I accept it. Okay, yeah, let's listen to it now.
Let's listen to it. All right, here's Bad Boy by our beloved Red Velvet. Hope you guys enjoy.
Oh, 신경 쓰지 마. 내 목소리에 집중해. 사람은 좀 달라져. 주위를 맴도는 내가 궁금해. 너도 알게 될 거야. 알 거야. 이미 늦어버렸단 걸. 맞아. 맞아.
This is WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM, and it is the top of the hour. I still have a little bit left in my show, so hope you guys can stick around. All right, once again, that was Bad Boy by Red Velvet off of the Perfect Red Velvet album, the repackaged version. That song truly, I think, was the pivot point for me to get back into K-pop after, I want to say, a decade-long drought or something like that. And so that song will forever hold a special place in my heart. I kind of wanted to also talk about some under the radar or underappreciated artists that we wanted to highlight after our long discussion of our favorites.
why don't you start? Because I think you have some ones that you would love to talk about.
I do indeed, actually. I don't think I've stopped talking, or like not stopped talking. I think I've mentioned this many times to my friend groups, but Stacy is a very recent group. I think they released their first single in November of last year, called So Bad. And contrary to the title, it is actually so good.
Wow, dad joke. All right.
This is So Bad by Stacy, their debut single. Hope you guys enjoy.
How do you think, yeah, yeah. Stacy girls, it's going down. 너네로만 모든 걸 다 알 수 없어. need your love 네 맘도 갈게 I want you bad Yes, so bad But love you and I'll never go away
정말의 out so
정말의 out so bad
So once again, that was So Bad by Stacey. And I just think that debut is just so like bold, I feel like. They really did not hold back any punches. Is that the saying?
They didn't pull any punches.
They didn't pull any punches. Like they just came out and were like, we're good. We're a star in our young culture.
I agree. I think that's a really great song. Not even qualifying it as a debut song, it has that really catchy pop chorus that you will never forget, and not only that, it has a really fun post-chorus sort of leading into the next verse, which I think is pretty iconic and part of the reason why it stood out to me.
The vocalists are just, all of them are so, like, they're just all so good, especially like the deeper voice vocalist. I think the way she sings, it just gives me goosebumps.
All right. No, I do like them as well. Mm-hmm. Okay, then I want to talk about another new-ish group. So one of the groups that I think is pretty underrated is Signature. It's spelled with a C. Don't ask me why. But they debuted, I believe, earlier last year. And I think they are pretty unknown. And although I don't know the details, I know their lineup has already changed since last year. Mm-hmm. But disregarding that, their song Asa is probably one of my most listened to songs of last year. Highly recommend that one. And another group that also debuted recently is Weekly, spelled with three E's. and I think their song After School, which came out just a few months ago, got really big. But I think their other song, Tag Me, from last year, cheesy as it sounds and as, I don't know, Gen Z-y as it sounds, is a definite bop.
Mm-hmm.
A bibimbap.
A bibimbap. Should we play one of these songs or?
Yeah, let's take a listen to After School by Weekly.
Oh, 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 oh. 슬퍼선 내 거야. 그때 마주친 그 표정을 잊을 수 없었지. 우린 서로 스며들어 친구보단 또 다른 나인 것 같아. 일렁이는 맘을 타고나 singing. 우린 스케이트보드 위로 마치 춤을 추듯 발을 굴려.
That was the song After School by Weekly, spelled with three E's. I'm just making sure you can Google them if you have, yeah. If you want to.
Damn, that song. It's definitely, yeah, definitely, like you said, more Gen Z-esque, I feel like. And the outfits as well, the outfits that they wear in the music video are a lot different from, like, I guess, previous generation outfits that I...
For sure. I mean, yeah. It's of today. I don't know if it'll be a timeless song, so mm-hmm. to speak, but it's still really fun. Although speaking of timeless songs, if you want to talk about some previously released songs that would still be really good now, mm-hmm. or just like artists that maybe are just not as popping in the mainstream, well, a song that I think would still be awesome now is View by Shiny. I was just watching some commentary on this song and re-listening to it, and even though it was released in 2015, if you watch the video now, it honestly still looks like it could have been released maybe a couple months ago. And the song itself, I still think, is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's not, I'm assuming it's not as big as some of the other Shiny songs that other people might know.
I think it was even famous at the time. Okay. I also think it was slightly before its time due to how the beat was written. Mm-hmm. And in the commentary video, which I watched, which was on YouTube on the channel MMTG, people had commented at the time about how weird their clothes were, but honestly their stage outfits are like what's popular now, like the giant sports jersey, hats and like loose tops and things mm-hmm. like that. Yeah,
truly ahead of their time then. Shiny
has Shiny's some always brains. Ahead of their time.
Speaking of like Shiny and SM, I think FX is also kind of underappreciated, I feel like, or like maybe a little forgotten now just because they haven't been in the spotlight for a while.
Yeah, and I am very sad that they only had 4 full-length albums.
Mm-hmm.
Underutilized. Definitely,
yeah. I think like the way SM handled FX and the way they didn't give them as much like coverage as or promotion as some of the other groups is, I think it's criminal that they did that.
Sorry, not to make light of it, because I think you're right, and that management companies, especially in pop music, where management has so much more say in maybe like an artist's output or their promotions than compared to in more indie groups.
Mm-hmm.
But they have so much money and power that they could have a huge impact if they wanted to. It's really sad that there are so many good groups. Not only like FX that were part of a big company that were super well known at the time, but now every month it seems there's some new group that's debuting and maybe they have like one really good song, but mm-hmm. their company doesn't have the resources or they don't have the cultural clout. Sorry to use the word clout, but it's true. to make like a big splash on debut and get a following very quickly,
mm-hmm.
which is unfortunate. But I mean, that's not just how the K-pop industry works. That's how pretty much all music industries work.
Yeah, very
due
true.
To capitalism.
Unfortunately.
Well, let's not get into that.
Do any songs like come to mind after talking about that, or groups?
Well, definitely Signature, which I mentioned earlier, also came out, but I think they've only had an EP with maybe 4 or 5 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I suspect part of that is because they weren't hugely popular as they came out. And mm-hmm. sometimes when I just go on the YouTubes and see what the algorithm feeds into my waiting hands, I'll see some group that's brand new. It's like, oh, debut stage or whatever. And then after like another few months, I never hear from them again.
It's tough. I wish.
It's tough out there. It's tough out there.
I wish we had more opportunities to hear from them, but
mm-hmm.
it is what it is. Unfortunately, we have.
Well, I don't feel qualified to make sweeping statements on the music industry as a whole, but I will bring up some artists that I like that maybe are not as popular. One song that I really, really like is The Definition of Love by Lee Dong-woo featuring Orphe Noah.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we could take a listen to that now. This is definitely not K-pop in the standard sense. But it was on a quite large music label, and Lee Dong-woo has featured on other pop songs, so I'm making us all listen to it now.
Where do they go, the people I know? When I close my eyes, do they cease to be in reality somehow? Longing to be where my friends are, to me when I'm thinking of the definition of love. Longing to be where my friends are, to me when I'm thinking of the definition of love. What's left behind when we've said goodbye? Do they leave a trace? The prints in my mind are never to be replaced, yeah. Be where my friends are, to me when I'm thinking of the definition of love.
WRCT, Pittsburgh.
CT Pittsburgh. This is Trapdoor and DJ Sideways. You're going to be listening to some first wave ska this week. We're going to start off with Dip and Fall Back by Justin Hines and the Dominoes. Enjoy.
Keep on fall back. That's what the music say. Make no use of fussing and fighting. Fighting. All game.